Blog Talk Radio.
To the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Cook. Welcome to Taking It to the Streets Discipleship class for this Monday, August the 7th, 2023. Tonight, I will share part 3 of Meet Me in the War Room. Our program tonight is entitled The Prayers That We Pray. But before we get into the teachings and our prayers for tonight, I'd like to start by just asking the good Lord himself to come on in and bless us. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now asking that I completely decrease so that you might have all the increase. Father God, use this teaching to edify your saints. And Lord, I pray that on tonight, someone will hear something in these teachings and these prayers that will cause them to turn their heart toward you and make you their Lord and their Savior. It is in your precious Son, Jesus' name, I pray, Father God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, amen. We have been talking about war room mentality praying, okay? So far during our study, we've discussed what prayer is. Prayer is a conversation with God in which we seek his face and his hand. Now, I told you that seeking his face is about having a up-close relationship with him, while seeking his hand is about seeing the results of the prayers that we pray. Now, I also told you there's nothing like consistent prayer to move our faith from a realm of religion into a true relationship with Christ Jesus. And prayer will always energize our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, although many of us have probably learned to pray by using the ACTS acronym, which stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication, I'm asking for us to pray beyond that. I'm asking for us to intentionally pray with greater purpose. I'm asking that we move into a place of total communion and cooperation with God. I want us to actually show up for duty by asking God what we should pray and what we should do by the power of his Spirit. Now, we've discussed some hindrances to prayer, things like we don't pray enough, we have unconfessed sins, we pray with the wrong motives, our relationships are out of whack, some of us just have a lack of faith or a lack of persistence or obedience. And then a lot of us may suffer with that lack of forgiveness or have idols in our lives or hiding behind that shame, that guilt, or that fear. We talked about why having a war room is so important. Well, as I said, if you're a child of God, you are going to be attacked on all sides by the enemy. Hallelujah. Because he would rather you do anything else than pray. We talked about war room strategies, and we likened it to a commander that goes into battle. And before they go into battle, they do some assessments, like, who or what are we battling? How equipped are we to battle? What tools or resources do we need? What plan of action will we take? I ask you to consider a few things that you might want to add to your strategy, your prayer strategy. I ask you to examine the enemy's characteristics and how he will, and you need to get real and think about how he will engage battle with you. And will you focus on one of those weapons and you turn that into a victory each and every day? Will you pray battle by battle, standing with the Lord, praying one for another, one by one? Or will you, just kind of go up there and ramble all over the place? Do you have a deep, focused prayer life? And you are always thinking from a strategic battleground? Are you incorporating the word of God into your battle plan? Are you using the resources that you need, like concordances and commentaries, whatever you need to help you to better understand God's word? Are you making use of them? And are you truly incorporating worship into your prayer battle plan? Hallelujah. Because every battle that we win Every battle that is won on our behalf is all because of God, and he deserves all the accolades for it. We talked about what we should pray for in our war room, everything. Our war room is where we will go to God the Father and pray about everything. It is where we lay our heart out to him, where we completely submit to him and trust that he will answer. And we need to remember that no prayer is too big or too small for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But before you step in to have a word with the master, there are some prayers that we ought to pray before we go in to pray. See, before we need to do a self-check, okay? So before some of us go in to intercede for others, we need to pray about our own strongholds. You know, we need to be real with God and say, look, Father, look, I can feel the enemy. I can hear him talking in my ears. I understand his schemes are real. I know he wants to steal my joy, destroy my home, and wreck my life. And I'm here to tell you my strength is failing and my hope is weak. But I need you, Lord. Fill my heart. Fill every room of my house. So some of us need to go in and get our strongholds, those strongholds pulled down before we can effectively pray for others. And then we might need to pray about the people that we're interceding for. You know, we just need to go in there and thank God for the relationships that we have with people, you know. I praise you, God,
Amen.
For my relationship Amen. With Minister Tinas. I praise you, Lord, for my relationship with Pastor Vanessa. I know that my sister is struggling, but Lord God, I know you're going to meet her where she is, just like you're meeting me where I'm at. You know, we have to pray for the people that we are in. Actually, pray that we are praying effectively and lovingly for the people that we're actually interceding on behalf of. And some of us might not know God in the pardon of our sin, but we feel led to pray. So the first thing you need to do is say to Father God, Father God, I'm a sinner, and I acknowledge my need for the Savior. Ask the Lord to take your heart, come into your life, surrender your will to him. Tell him and let him know that you're ready to put your life and you're in his hands and you're going to trust his plans. Ask him to teach you and show you the path that you should walk in. Some of us, before we can pray for rescue, for others to be rescued, we might need to ask the Lord to rescue us by simply saying, Lord, you know, I'm carrying a heavy burden. I'm getting tired. I'm getting weak. And I struggle and I strive. And I don't seem to be seeing any end to this chaos. Lord, I'm desperate. I need you. Show up, Lord. Don't leave me here. Send relief. Provide the way out. Part the waters for me like you did for Moses and the Israelites. You just have to ask. You cannot go in praying for others when you have not been rescued yourself. And then you need to pray for forgiveness. Hallelujah. Because before we can enter the Holy of Holies, we have to make sure we're entering with clean hands. We have to just say to God, God, you see my heart. And I know that at times it's hard. It can get bitter. It can get angry. And sometimes I struggle to forgive. Sometimes I wrestle with letting go of past hurt. I just can't seem to get it. I seem to play it over and over in my head like a loop. But I need you to help me, Father. Help me to let go. Walk before me, Lord. Lead me down the path of forgiveness, and I will follow. You see what I'm saying? We have to ask We can't give away that which we don't have for ourselves. Some of us, we just got to keep it real and repent. And I mean repent everything. We need to ask the Heavenly Father to search our hearts and reveal any hidden sin in our lives. And ask him to show us those things that we're clinging to those things that keep us from knowing him even more deeply. And then we need to ask him to forgive us. And then after we have asked for that forgiveness, we have to believe that we are forgiven, and we have to choose to trust what God has said and what he is doing. You see, before you enter into prayer, you need to ask your soul a few questions. You need to ask things like, am I going up here simply to give God my laundry list of things that I feel that I need or want? Or am I preparing to sit down and hear from the Lord? Am I going to God with clean hands so he will hear me? Have I been merciful and helpful to others as the Father has been towards me? Am I entering into his gates with thanksgiving? And am I going into his courts with praise? You see, thanks to God in all our prayers, we can't forget to thank the Lord for what he's already done. When we pray, we are praying from our heart without words. Okay? But then some of us, I'm going to keep it real with you. I'm going to ask you. Some of us are just stringing words together without any heart in it at all. You know? So which one are you doing? Are you just praying? Are you praying from y'all with your whole heart? Hallelujah. Are you crying out to God? Or are you just stringing together some words that sound good? See, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. You need to decide which one is going to be for you. Now, hypocritical prayer is an oxymoron. See, hypocrisy and prayer, they just don't go together. Anything that we properly call prayer should be divorced from all hypocrisy. The Lord teaches us this in the gospel when he talks about those who pray for an audience. You see, for them, prayer is a performance. It's a show. But if you've truly been praying for any length of time, you know that we don't need an audience for our prayers to be a show. You know, we've actually got some people that watch themselves pray. Oh, yeah. They're admiring the eloquence of their own words, okay? They like the way they turn a phrase. So prayer can go from being an act of communion with God to a demonstration of pride. But real prayer is an expression of love. Real prayer is an expression of perseverance. It's an expression of gratefulness. Why love? Because in prayer, we're communing with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're praying to the Father in the name of the Son through the Spirit. And in the act of prayer, we're meant to enjoy all three of them and get to know them and to communicate with them and commune with them. How can prayer be communion where there's no love? We have to pray. When we pray, we have to be prepared to pray with acceptance. It's the word of God says in 2 Corinthians, in Matthew 6:8, Matthew 8:26, and 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. That's what it tells us. Matthew 6:8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12:7-10, It says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So we're about to go in accepting with a spirit of acceptance. Whatever the Lord says, we are going to trust it. We are going to do it. And we are going to share it. We also have to go in with a whole lot of faith. The blessing of prayer has been clearly revealed to us in Scripture. So let us trust what they say and pray without doubting. That's what James tells us in chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. And then we have to be prepared to be persistent. In Matthew 7:7-8, the Greek carries the ideal of keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Jesus said we should always pray and not give up. We should pray with perseverance. In prayer, there should also be perseverance. There should be a steadfastness, a pressing in, a continuously knocking at the door. This perseverance is necessary to prevail against our flesh. Because why? Our flesh wars against the spirit. And I tell you the truth. Sometimes when we pray, don't we sometimes experience a wandering, distracting mind? When we pray, don't we sometimes experience our frailty, our weaknesses, or our fatigue? Has anybody ever fallen asleep while praying like the apostles did in the Garden of Gethsemane? So we need perseverance, and we need that pressing into the things of God and pushing out all of those distractions of the world. We need to fill up and press toward those things that crucify the flesh so that we might be in a fuller communion with the Lord. We enter into the Holy of Holies with a spirit of harmony with God's will. 1 John 5:14 says, if we pray according to God's will, he hears us and grants us prayer. This is exactly what it says. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. When the Bible clearly reveals God's will, we have confidence in the answer. For example, when we genuinely repent of sin and ask for forgiveness, we know our sin is forgiven. We are told that in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, and Acts 8:18-24. We are told this in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, and Psalm 51, verses 1 through 17. Hallelujah. When God's will is in the matter is unrevealed, then we pray in the attitude, if it be possible, or nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, as declared in Matthew 26:39. 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm going to go ahead and read Acts 8, 18 through 24. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." He says, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in gall of bitterness and in the bound of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come over me." So you see, when God's will is revealed, we shouldn't have any problem obeying and trusting and believing in that, in them. Hallelujah. We should also enter with a desire to obey. Huh? James 5:16, you know what it says. Only the prayer of a righteous man is powerful. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. We receive from God what we ask only when we show ourselves willing and eager to keep God's commandments and do the things that please him. Hallelujah. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And then in 1 John 3:22 we read, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And finally, we should enter into the Holy of Holies and into that holy place with the Lord in communion with God. It should be an expression of gratitude. We need to start truly counting the blessings of the Lord. We need to mark his providences. We need to observe the divine interpretations that have broken into our lives, so that not only will we receive Christ, but we will receive everything in Christ and receive him and experience him in a surprising way, in opportune times, in times later than we had hoped for or expected. See, the divine interruption of God, which are blessings and distributions of his kindness to us, ought to cultivate gratitude in us. Our prayers ought to express gratitude, so that we're conscious of the kindness and goodness of the Lord. Even when we can't trace God's hand, as the saying goes, we can trust his heart, because we know God is good and we're grateful for his goodness. And this spurs us on to pray with perseverance. Hallelujah. It turns us to love Christ, and it turns us to love for others. Hallelujah. And we will serve God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, saints, we just can't enter to speak to God without giving him the proper reverence. We have to have our mindset correct, our heart set correct, our spirit has to be correct. I truly believe that we are not seeing a greater move of God because we are not taking the time to truly prepare ourselves before we enter to speak to God about anything. And that is why I asked God's anointed intercessor and Pastor Vanessa Carver to come in on tonight. And I want her to take her time, and I want her to speak to all of you about intercessory prayer and what it sounds like to strategize with God, hallelujah, because that's what we're up there doing, strategizing with God. So please, if you have, give your undivided attention to our prophetic intercessor, Pastor Vanessa Carver. Amen, Pastor Vanessa.
Thank you, Apostle Cook. I'm just listening to your section and meditating on it. It's a lot, and it is a perfect introduction into intercession because it is not a place to play, and God moves in this place very powerfully and effectively, and there are so many different components to intercession, but that first piece that Apostle Cook was ministering to is so, so important. I can't highlight how important it is. I want to give you guys all, first of all, just glad to be a part of this initiative that Apostle Cook has started with our strategies in prayer and in the war room and just gaining a better understanding of how united prayer really will change things and turn the world upside down. And we see that biblical example in the Word when the disciples were all initiated and began to move in the acts of God. When I started to, I would say when I was a little girl, but I wasn't always with God. I wasn't in alignment with God. I didn't have a lot of understanding. And then when I was in my 20s, I came back to the Lord and just began to heal and begin to serve in that order. And one of the things that I knew I was an intercessor because I didn't understand it at first. I would just pray. I would pray about everything. And some of it was because I was led to. That's all I understood. I didn't talk to a lot of people about the things that I was going through, but I sure would journal and I sure would talk to God a lot. This really started when I was a teenager. But like I mentioned before, I had broke off. So I always was talking to God. I'd be up late at night just praying and talking to God all the time. This was in me as a child. It got the more that God began to draw me closer to him, and then I was reading his word and praying about all these different things. One time I was in intercessory prayer. I was in prayer, really. You know, I would pray every day about something. I had a list of things I would pray about. And I began to hear God at a different level. See, prayer, which I know that Apostle Cook has mentioned, is about not just us praying and not just us talking. It's about us listening.
Yeah.
And God began to really talk to me, not just about what I was praying about, but why I was praying it. What I mean, he was talking to me on such a personal level that I didn't even believe it at first. I thought it was something going on in my head. And if I want to find out anything, I will get a book. So from the Word of God to anything about intercessory prayer, and I began to share with different ones that were in my life in Christ that I could go and talk to about what is going on with this. What is God saying to me? Is it just me? And they began to talk about intercessory prayer. They said, oh, that's intercession. And so you have to be teachable in this new place. And I believe all of us, I know all of us are called to be intercessors. It's not a special office. It's something that all of us are called to do. And some people are of the thought that you are called to intercession, but we all are called to intercession if we're paying attention.
Amen.
And just like Apostle Cook was laying out the foundation last week and this week about all the different things about our hearts and about having a strategy and about being in a place of a structure and order when we pray and consistent and faithful with a sincere heart, God has called you to intercession. Don't run away from things you don't understand. Just dig deep and go seek God more in it. I mean, another thing that I realized, too, was that the presence of God was really heavy at times that I made room for him. When I guarded that time with him, or I would say, okay, every morning or at night or whatever, or whenever he was pulling on me, I would just make room for him and guard it. and learn to be obedient and submissive to him. That's a big chunk of intercession. We need to be receptive to the Holy Spirit in intercession and in prayer. That's so important because it's about relationship. And it's about us trusting God and God trusting us. And when he trusts us, it's a place of intimacy, but it's also a place of great responsibility. And we should take it that seriously. When you look up the word intercession, which I always like to start with working definitions, it is a verb. I'm going to use intercession as it pertains to the word intercede, and it is an action word, to act or to interpose in or on behalf of someone in difficulty or trouble, as by pleading or petition. There are also synonyms that I use when I think of the word intercession, like mediation, advocate, interceding, and enforcing, being a representative, so, and petitioning and pleading. Advocate, I also think of the word, you know, law, being a lawyer, because in a lot of ways it is a legal term as well. So first of all, let's put things in order and address the fact that Christ is the ultimate intercessor. So there's a lot of things that he was sent to do, and it is a finished work. So we don't need to reinvent the wheel, and we don't need to do certain things. When it comes to intercession, we have to have a working understanding of what are we actually doing, and have these working definitions in our life about what we really are doing as it pertains to mediation. I always think of intercession in two dimensions as well, the prayer part and then the work part. So it's two. If you can intercede in the spirit, you have to know that there's another part of that. There's a work part. There is a hands to the plow thing. There's missions. There's ministry. There's an ambassadorial aspect to this that is hands-on. So no matter whatever you are interceding about, engage in your mind and in your heart that there is a part of this that is applicable in your everyday life. And if that level of expectation is there when you intercede, then the work will be easy to discern. You'll know, okay, this is the work of what I prayed about, Lord. This is the work of what you showed me about. Okay? So when we intercede as a group, same principle. We are praying first things that God has done to make us enforcers, to make us ones that reconcile. But at the end of the day, he is the high priest, he's the apostle, the advocate. We are an extension of what Christ did when God sent him. And the Holy Spirit helps us do that. So I'm going to read a couple of scriptures just to let you know that, first of all, when we are interceding, depending on what we're interceding about, there is a part of it that we mentioned that has to do with spiritual warfare. We will, you know how people say a prayer meeting and how we all meet at a certain place. If you think of a meeting between darkness and light, many times when you're in deep intercession, you are going to deal with the realm of the spirit as it pertains to darkness and wickedness, evil. And that's something to be aware of, not to be afraid of. Because remember, what Jesus did was a finished work. But as we know, because we sit in heavenly places with him in Christ, we are going to encounter these realms that don't want a prayer to get through. And so when we begin to pray at this level, we are to expect warfare, knowing that, okay, I'm representing Christ. Christ's finished work. So when God is telling me to pray for the nations, or if God is telling me to pray for our leaders, and if God is telling me to pray for our children in our schools, or if God is telling me to pray for my neighborhood, don't you know there's powers and principalities that are in operation in these areas? So intercession, usually when you get at that level where you are taking dominion, and a lot of the aspects of intercession has to do with authority and taking dominion.
Yes.
And we don't always think about that.
No, we don't.
That means you have to GPS and find out or remember who you are in Christ. Your identity in Christ is really important. You don't know who you are. The devil can whoop you, step over you, have access to you and to others through you as an intercessor.
Mm-hmm.
You better believe it. And it has a lot to do with, even if you're not in that sacred place where you're making time with God and you're not worshiping him and with your life, with your time, you know how we just make that time for God in the morning. Sometimes some of us do it right before we go to bed. Some of us have a set time of the week that we do it where we go in deep. And worship is important. I think Apostle Cook said that. I know she did. Worship is important. Adoration is important. Laying down your weights and the sin that easily besets you is important because you're about to go in. And
there it is.
You need to be knowledgeable. You need to have your ears peaked to listen. You need to be listening. You need to be able to be sensitive to know when I have dropped a bomb, which means I can tell sometimes in the spirit when things have changed and shifted. Now, I have you need to have your notes with you. You need to be writing. You need to be hearing what God is saying. Don't put a rush act on him.
Yeah.
Let him take his time. And many times, as you have interceded, like if he says, okay, Apostle Cook, I want you for the next 30 days or for the next 90 days or for whatever to press in on a certain time at this. He might have her on a certain watch. He might have her praying about a certain thing. You better believe that when the Lord has you in these places that there will be intel. That's what I call it.
Yes.
You know, high intelligence.
Yes.
There's things that he's going to say to you that is not for anybody else. And it's not even for you. It's based on what you're praying for, too, as well, whatever you are interceding about. And remember, Jesus is the one who was the ultimate intercessor for us. In Hebrews 3:1, it says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, remember, we're seated in him in high places, thoughtfully and attentively consider the apostle and the high priest whom we confess as ours when we accepted him as Jesus Christ. So you know how we always talk about everything being Christ-centered. Your intercession has to be Christ-centered. Don't get it twisted. Know who you are, but also basically know who he is. And know who he is not. Be able to detect the counterfeit. In John 16, verses 25 through 26, it says about Jesus saying how he had overcome the world. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. And in that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, because it will be unnecessary. So there's things that Jesus died for that we have access to. And when I read this again, in the day that you will ask in my name and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father, because we can go boldly before the throne of God. That's what intercession is. We don't have time to sit up here and figure out what are the proper things to say. You have to be bold and you have to know who he is and what he already established. So there is, you do have to have a working knowledge of the word of God. And he expects for us to use that. He expects for us to use it. And when we believe in him, we will understand his authority and his finished work and walk therein and know that he is our advocate. As he said in 1 John 2:1, my little children, believers, is who he's talking to, dear ones, I'm writing to you these things. No, this is 1 John 2:1. So John was writing, so that you will not sin and violate God's law. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate who will intercede for us with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the upright, the just, the one who conforms the Father's will in every way, purposes, thought, and action. And that's what we're doing. We're an extension of who he is. There's very many good examples, especially in the Old Testament, of intercessory prayer. I think of Moses. I think of Jeremiah. I think of Nehemiah, the different prophets that prayed and how they ushered in repentance, how they prayed about the sins and brought them before the Lord, and they were in this. I would consider them being advocates, being ones who are saying, okay, God, we have really messed up. These are our sins. We repent. And first of all, they did a list of the things that they did wrong. And when I use that example because I think that it's really important, as Apostle Cook had addressed, about levels of repentance, dealing with our stuff, so we can be more effective. Get that burden off of you so you can carry somebody else's burden. That's really important. Don't carry your burdens and then think you're going to be able to carry somebody else's burdens, because that is also a part of intercession. In John 20 and 21, it says, then Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you as my representatives. We are representatives. We represent the kingdom of God. So when we intercede, look at yourself, if you can, or visualize who you are and what you represent and who you represent. And know that after a while, when you are constantly interceding, you don't have to, it's going to be on autopilot. You'll just be in, it'll be a default switch. You'll know, okay, I know who I am and I know who I'm representing. Let's go. Let's go. In John 7, 38 through 39, it says, whoever believes in me, as she said, believing is very important, of course, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on me. You adhere to, trusts in, and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him as Savior were to receive afterwards. The Spirit had not yet been given to them because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So this is about the Holy Spirit that is always available to us in the place of intercession. We can lean to our own understanding. It's not going to get us very far. We can read self-help books. We can read articles, read the latest news, combine all that. But through the filter of the Holy Spirit, what is he saying? What is he seeing? What is he telling us to focus on? What is he telling us to pray about? And not through our emotions, or not through what the latest person told you to pray about that you have a lot of respect for. Who is trumping all that? Take every thought captive when it comes to intercession, too. Don't bring your opinions and your presuppositions and things like that to prayer. And your presumptions, like I said, don't bring that to intercession. No. Don't bring that to prayer either, because it gets in the way. And just remember, for God is not a mere man, and I'm speaking from Job. Job was basically, there's a little messianic aspect of this in Job 9, 32 and 33. He said, God's not a mere man as he was, that I may answer him, that we may go to court in judgment. There is no arbitrator between us. And at the time, this was the case. Who can lay his hand upon us both? Would that there were. So this is him saying, we need a go-between. This is before Christ. And we have one. And we don't need to ever think that we don't, because we do, as the children of God, who are what? As I mentioned before, who trust, rely in, and adhere to the principles of God, as the scripture has said. So make sure your belief is intact, and if it isn't, get to a place where it is. Yes, don't beat yourself up about you don't believe, you don't trust, don't waste time wallowing. I used to do that a lot. About it. And that's a lot of stuff. It's I'm praying because I'm listening to you, God. What do you say about it? Yes. I need to hear something.
Come on.
So that we can keep the flow. Holy Spirit is there to help us. We're dealing with heavy topics. As intercessors, we're not praying for light things. These are the things, if you really are a true intercessor, you're praying for the things that are on God's heart.
That's
and they matter to him. And if
they
matter to him, they matter. Over everything else that social, that society is telling us that matters, over everything that culture is telling us that matters, that over denominations are telling us that matters, what is God saying that matters right now? With some of us, he may even be dealing with us in our dreams. We may have had a series of dreams. We may even be having recall of dreams that we had, and we haven't done anything with them because God is telling us to pray about certain things, and we haven't done it. So it's laid dormant somewhere, and it's still in a place where that person may be waiting with it. Write it out and pray about it, and listen to what God is saying to you. In 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, and the man, Christ Jesus, and it says Christ Jesus. Matthew 16:9 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and this is Jesus talking to Matthew 16:19, the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on the earth will have already been bound in heaven. So we got authority, y'all. And whatever you loose, whatever you permit and declare lawful on earth will have already been loosed in heaven. We make songs about this, but do we have a working understanding of this scripture? Keys to the kingdom is about authority that Jesus gave us. It's already been done. So what are we doing with our authority? Many times intercessors carry burdens. We enforce the victory that's already been won. Sometimes our prayers can become declarative in nature because we're declaring something that's already done. A lot of times he's not asking us to ask and petition. Sometimes he's saying, just go in there and declare. Just go in there and proclaim. Authority. You are enforcing the victory that has already been won. It's a finished work. And the enemy has the mind of the people thinking that they have to do something instead of just accepting the finished work. So intercessors, especially as I call them, also I did a teaching many years ago about intercessors and worship, which is a powerful aspect too, when it's collective worship, and intercessors are worshipers as well, and that those two things come together, and there's declaration and proclamation going throughout the earth, and we are claiming territory spiritually and naturally. That's all we have to do. That's all he told. He said, that's all I need you to do. I didn't ask you to do anything else, and you got to believe that that's enough. Do it with your whole heart and trusting that what I've told you. We carry burdens too. Intercessors carry burdens. There's a Hebrew word called Paga, and it's spelled P-A-G-A, and it's used in the Old Testament many times, especially in Samuel, 2 Samuel, and Judges. It's a term that means to fall upon or to make an attack, right? Or to, if you're trying to overcome your enemy, you may be in a place where you creep on them at night and you overtake them and you take dominance over them and you strike, right? Sometimes you're in stealth mode. And this word is what intercessors do when they go in as watchmen, not just as watchmen, but they go in and see things ahead of time. So there's a prophetic aspect to this as well. A lot of times they are able to gain strategies in intercession. God will download strategies to you. Don't take that lightly, of what to do, and it can be about something spiritual and something natural as it pertains to the body of Christ. Intercessors can travail as well. We're bringing and birthing something in the spirit that we will see in the natural. There will travail that will fall upon intercessors sometimes, not from necessarily an emotional thing, but a thing of giving birth. You're bearing down hard on something. Giving birth to something is not easy. Whether you've experienced natural childbirth or not, even if you were to watch a woman give birth, That is not easy. She's laboring. So we are all co-laborers, beloved. We are all co-laborers. And there are many times that we have to bear down, and it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to hurt, but we're birthing something in the spirit. And it's not going to be something that is, what's the word, lofty or not easy to explain. It'll be, you'll know what you're giving birth to.
Amen.
Give over to it and understand that intercession is about so many different aspects, but I like to use it as a war term and a legal term because we are taking territory. We're guarding territory. We're enforcing victory. We're carrying burdens. We're bringing things forth in the spirit. Sometimes we are being confrontational in the spirit because we're dealing with realms of darkness. And we need to be ready for that. We don't need to be afraid of it. And we don't need to be running from it.
we need to seek
to understand it. And so intercession as it pertains to a war room strategy is a very intricate part of almost the circle inside the circle type thing. Everybody is important. Intercessors that take on that role and that responsibility as well have to, first of all, don't run from it. Second of all, ask the Lord how to teach you certain things you don't understand. Ask questions, listen, and stay on the wall. That's what I would say. Stay on the wall as the intercessor. We need you. And all of us are intercessors. All of us are different levels of intercession. Some of us are learning. Only pray and target the things that God is telling you to pray and target. Stay in the word because it will give you better discernment as you intercede. Listen to him. Write whatever he's telling you to do to be able to execute his purposes. I'm done. Thank you, Apostle Cook.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Saints of God, the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. So we must be warriors on our knees. And here at Spirit Alive, we're going to stay in the war room. We are going to systematically begin to pray with a war room mentality about these principalities. See, we understand their principalities, but thanks to God, that doesn't mean we're not supposed to fight. I don't care if it's the government, if it's health care, if it's insurance institutions, we are going to come together and we are going to start praying. My Spirit Alive family, they often hear me say, we're going to pray this thing from the top to the bottom and the bottom to the top. That means we are going to address every foul spirit. We are going to counsel out every negative thing that the enemy tries to do, because we are going to stand in the power of God Almighty. We're going to stand on his word. We're going to pray his word. See, the time for playing has been over. Look around. If we don't pray for one another, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? All of us here, all of the servant leaders here at Spirit Alive, we want you to know how to cry out. We want you to know how to know who you are, and we want you to get into your rightful place that God has ordained just for you. He didn't call you to sit on the sidelines. We got to pray, beloved. We got to pray, and we got to pray on purpose, with purpose. We can't just be praying to sound good. I don't care if you know every the names of every foul spirit in the universe. God does too. He doesn't need to hear them. I'd much rather spend my time glorifying God and thanking him for what he's already done. I would much rather demonstrate love, my love for God, through loving on his people. So perhaps maybe if they didn't never had a relationship with their father, maybe through us, they might get to see and feel what that sounds like and looks like. I just thank God we're going to continue on this journey. Pastor Vanessa, you did a phenomenal job. You broke it down. So, and we have a lot of Spirit Alive family up in here because we are going to do some praying tonight because that's what we came to do. But right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the Spirit of the House, and if you have a comment, and then if you would like to pray, you can do so. Amen. Because we need the prayers going up. And since we're already in a war room mentality, since, you know, we are already there, you know, I'm sure we all, you know, have an armor on. We armored up. And I know I've asked the Lord to forgive me and strengthen me and use me and just make me effective because, you know, I can't do anything without him. So I'm going to go through the house now. And if you would like to have a word, you can press your 1, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. But as for the Spirit Alive family, I'm just going to go through the house. Minister Tina Brown, comment, darlings, and prayer.
Amen. Hallelujah, sister. I was in prayer and fell asleep while praying. I apologize. I just have a lot on my mind with my son in the hospital, so I was in prayer while I was listening to you and Pastor Vanessa, and there was so much in there that was just so good about being diligent and making sure that we are doing the things we need to do to walk with Christ with prayer and keeping to the word and following and obeying his rules that he has for us to be good Christians and followers of Christ. But as I was praying, I just went really deep into the prayer, and it's as if the message was carrying me through the prayer. I can't explain it, but it was just something that I really needed to do because, like I said, with my son and his situation right now, I didn't know what else to do but to pray. So thank you so much for your message today. I love and appreciate you all.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, Mother Gibbons, we're going to hear from you now.
Good evening, and I want to thank you, Apostle Cook and Minister Carver, for those beautiful words. And if it weren't for the Lord, I don't know where I'd be at this age that I am. And I had a procedure today, and I prayed all night long that it would go well. And believe it or not, when I came home, everything was fine with me. So I just thank all of you who have prayed for me, those of you who don't know me, but I just want to thank you and thank my Heavenly Father. So I'd just like to do a short prayer.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just submit myself to you this evening with thanksgiving, Lord. I ask you to cleanse and restore my heart and soul, my mind to your will. And Father God, please bless us each and every day with an awareness of your Holy Spirit. And Father God, you created each of us, and every breath we take and every morning we wake, we live under your power. Father, if you created us from nothing, you certainly can recreate us. Father God, let the warmth of your healing love pass through our bodies. And restore us to full health in mind and body so we may serve you the rest of our lives. I ask this through Christ Jesus. Amen, and thank God.
Ooh, hallelujah. Okay, I got some. Ooh, thank you, Lord. That was good right there. That was good. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. That's how you do it. Mother Mattie, Scott, ma'am, madam, come on into the room, ma'am.
Yes, yes, ma'am. I tell you, your teaching, Bishop Cook and Pastor Carver, it was wonderful. Your words of wisdom, I learned a lot this evening. I learned a whole lot. I believe in intercessory prayer myself. I'm constantly praying, and that's what we need to do as children of Father God, brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to reach out and pray for each other, and the prayers of the righteous avail of much around the throne of Father God and King Jesus. And I know my mother, this November 6th, this year, my mother has been gone home to glory for 28 years. And believe it or not, her prayers is at my Heavenly Father's throne of grace. I know they're there because I can tell. I can feel it. I can feel the way she raised me from a little girl. I wasn't even old enough to go to kindergarten or preschool. I mean, my mother taught me how to pray. And I was a little kid. And I tell you, the Bible says, train that child up the way that child should go.
Yeah.
When that child gets older, they will not depart from the gospel.
Okay.
But I have to say, I have not depart from the gospel. And I just, I just thank God for his many, many blessings. I really do. And the prayer is powerful. It's just powerful. And God bless you, ladies. God bless you, Bishop Cook. God bless you.
God bless you, Mother.
Pastor Carver, God bless you. And your families, and God bless Mrs. Gibbons. And what she said was beautiful as well.
Yes.
And I love the Spirit of Life family. And right now, I'm going to pray. I'm going to Father God and King Jesus, holy throne of grace right now. Father God, King Jesus, we go to your holy, beautiful throne of grace, Lord, as humble and humbly as we know how. First of all, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for what you have done. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now. And we thank you, Lord, for what you will do in the future. Because, Lord, you're so worthy to be praised. And I thank you, Lord, for sitting high and looking low, looking beyond our faults and seeing our needs, Lord. I thank you. And right now, personally, right now, Lord, I surrender all to you right now. I rededicate my life to you, Lord.
Yes,
I rededicate my life to you, Lord. Today is Monday, August the 7th, 2023. I'm Matthew Scott. We dedicate my life, myself, my mind, my heart, my soul to you, Lord. Because, Lord, you be praised. You brought me from a mighty long way. And I know you brought all of us from a mighty long way on the airwaves. So, Lord, I just thank you right now. I thank you for the women of God at Spirit Alive. I thank you for the men of God. I thank you, Lord, for the words of wisdom and discernment that you give them and give us, Lord. And I just
thank
you right now. You always warn your children. You never let nothing slip upon them. And I know for a fact my mother would have dreams and she could feel things and she'd tell me different things. You never let nothing slip upon her. She even knew, Lord, when she was going home to be with you, she knew. And I'm like, Lord, you're going to take my mother away from me. But, Lord, you know best. We don't understand. Your timing is above our timing. Your ways are above our ways. Your thoughts are above our thoughts. We just don't understand, Lord. But you understand and know all things, Lord. And so I thank you, Lord, right now. Worth it to be praying. Lord, I just love you and adore you and praise you, Lord, with my whole heart. And like I said, I'm not the best person in the world, but please, Heavenly Father, please, King Jesus, wash my heart white as snow, Lord. Cleanse my mind, my soul of all unrighteousness. Use me, Lord, for your will and for your way and your purpose, Lord. Use me, Lord, as a willing vessel. It's all about you, Lord, your son.
Yes,
it's not about us, but it's about you and your son. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you right now. Mrs. Gibbons just gave a testimony, and we all got so many testimonies because, Lord, you're worth it. And where man say no, you say it's yes, Lord. So I just thank you right now. I'm just so glad. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord, because you rule and reign over all things. And you
yes, Lord.
I don't know what was going on. I can't remember. But I said to myself, the Lord owns PG&E. The Lord owns Social Security. The Lord owns all the banks, all the mints where the money is made. He owns all the houses, the cars, the clothes, the food, and everything. Lord, like my mother used to say, Lord, you only lend it to us for a little while. We ain't taking nothing with us. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, because everything belongs to you, Lord. You just blesses us. You just blesses us for a little while. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. You're so worth it. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, the comforter you left behind to your disciples. You left your disciples, your comforter, and you let them know that you still would be with them, Lord, and they still preach the gospel. Even Peter preached the gospel. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. You're a miracle worker. You're a wheel, my wheel, and a mill of the wheel. You're my rose of Sharon. You're my bright morning star. My lily of the valley. Bridge over troubled water. Jehovah Jireh, you are my provider. Jehovah Nisi, you are my Prince of Peace.
Yes.
Jehovah Shalom, you are my Lord that reigns the victory. And Jehovah Rapha, Lord, you are our healer. You're my healer. Lord, I thank you. And I thank you for these ladies of God.
Thank you, Lord, bless them, bless them homes, Lord.
Bless their homes, their family. Cover them, Lord, in your blood. Everyone here on the air, cover them in your blood. Cover their homes. Give them your heavenly shield to protect them. Here's the protection. Let your angels encamp around them in their homes. Bless their homes with good health, prosperity, wealth, long life, good health,
all blessings,
peace, and serenity, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And giving you all honor. All praises, Lord, because it all belongs to you. And all these blessings I ask you in the precious, mighty name of King Jesus and Father God. Hallelujah to your holy, blessed, wonderful, beautiful name. And
Thank you, Lord, and your way
and your mission.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, that's what I'm talking about. War room prayers, you know. Praying with sincerity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you, Lord, because you're worthy. I just love it when we just allow the Spirit to have his way. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, we're going to hear from Bishop Lester Carver, and we're then going to, Pastor Vanessa and I are going to pray afterwards. So, and of course, we're going to hear Bishop pray as well. So, Bishop, come on in the room.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook.
God bless you, really blessed
to hear the teaching tonight. And
Hallelujah.
I believe the part that jumped out to me tonight that really made me think and made me really ponder how this could impact everyone was the part that Vanessa was speaking about earlier, where she was talking about how we were all intercessors and people have a hard time grasping that.
Just like when you say
that we're all ministers, and we are.
Right.
Every born-again Christian is a minister of reconciliation. You are called to reconcile the world back to God. That every born-again Christian is a minister of reconciliation, just as every born-again believer has the call and the ability to intercede on behalf of the saints. Now, this is found in Romans chapter 8. Verse 26, where it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is literally saying that when you are speaking in tongues, you are praying and interceding for things that you don't even know to pray for. And that is why I keep going back to your need to build up your inner man on your most holy faith by speaking in tongues, speaking in your heavenly prayer language, so that you can, in fact, intercede for all of the saints. You can intercede for things that you don't even know are going on through the Spirit. With groanings which cannot be uttered, you will be speaking to the Most High in your heavenly prayer language and interceding perfectly for the saints, because things that you couldn't even begin to comprehend are known by the Spirit, but they need to pass through you. They need to be energized through your Spirit. And you have to send them to heaven. There's something about that that needs to pass through your spirit and your being and your mouth and your mind so that you can be energized by the Spirit. So the other thing that came out to me in terms of the war room strategy that God was speaking to me about is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, where God tells us to pray for those who spitefully use us and to pray for those who persecute us. And I know in my personal life, where I really started to see breakthrough, where I really started to see God crushing those stony places in my heart, was when he led me to pray for my enemies, to pray for those who spitefully used me and those who persecuted me, and to have a prayer list with those people on it. And I'll tell you, it was such a humbling thing, but also such a point of restoration for me, where I didn't have any question about whether God was using me or not. I didn't have any question about whether God was going to bless me or not, because he'd asked me to do something that went beyond my own ability without the Holy Spirit to do. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit, there's no way I could have done what he caused me to do. But that was the beginning of a tremendous blessing in my life. So if you want to see outcomes in your prayer life, pray for those who spitefully use you. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies and put them on your prayer list. So I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to pray for each of us. We can go higher in our relationship with God intentionally.
Yes.
God, I thank you for who you are to us. I thank you for you as our Heavenly Father, God. We praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised, and there is no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, I thank you for you being all-knowing. I thank you for you being all-powerful. I thank you for you being present with us at all times and for you being the only entity in existence who has those qualities of presence and power and knowledge. God, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent to pay for our physical wholeness with his broken body. And I thank you for the sin that was paid for by his perfect blood that was shed for us at Calvary. God, I thank you for us receiving that payment for our sin and knowing that that blood was powerful enough to cover all of our sin. And I thank you for us receiving that payment for our physical wholeness and health and well-being through his broken body and knowing that it was sufficient to get the job done. Father, right now we claim that wholeness. We claim that deliverance, God. We claim that restoration, not just for ourselves, but for others. God, we thank you for what you've done in our lives, and we are blessing you for what you're doing in the lives of others. Father, we give you all of the glory and all of the praise because we know that your power is real and that you are using us as the vessels of honor to get you glory and to draw others to you so that they can be delivered and they can be blessed and they can be restored. and they can be healed. I thank you for a great night's sleep tonight. I thank you for people taking your word and meditating on it this evening. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Bishop. Hallelujah. Mother Mitchell?
Yes. Praise God. First of all, I'd just like to say to you, Apostle Cook, I thank you for the wonderful introduction to praying and going higher in prayer before we go into the war room and after we go into the war room. And I'd like to also thank Pastor Vanessa for that wonderful instruction on intercessory prayer. I love that, and I want to become a better intercessor, a better prayer partner, a better prayer, period. And a lot of years ago when the War Room book came out and I started reading it, I would just go into an extra room I had in the house that I did nothing in, and I would just sit there and with the Lord and just pray, and that was my war room. Now, and because I had other people in my home, I had a husband and others. Now that I live by myself, any war house room in my house can be the war room. I could pray in any of them. But I thank you, Sister Vanessa, so much. One of the things I'd like to say is the Lord's Prayer is one of the greatest prayers that's in the Bible.
Yes, it is.
And maybe the second one is the Lord is Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, because it was so heartfelt. And every time I read it, it's heartfelt still to me thousands of years later. And we have people that say prayer changes things. But more importantly, prayer changes us.
Amen.
No matter what we pray about, what we pray for, who we pray for, how are we doing, standing up, lying down, it does not matter. If we're praying with clean hands and a clean heart, God hears us. And
yes,
when
he does.
If we listen for an answer from him, we listen for chastisement and correction as well as comfort. If you're always listening for comfort and prosperity from God, you may not get an answer, and you certainly won't always get the answer you're looking for.
Amen.
And as you said, Bishop, Apostle Cook, sometimes we don't pray enough. Sometimes we don't pray with the right forgiveness. There's all kinds of reasons why we should pray. We should be persistent. And I want to do what Pastor Vanessa says. I want to make a declaration. The devil dreads prayer more than anything that we More than anything. And our attitude when we pray is so important. I am just so enjoying this on prayer, and I just thank everybody that spoke. I thank Mother Matisse Scott. She prays so fervently and just gets so happy. She just prays herself into a real good shout, and I love
that.
So she makes me feel happy. And I just thank Mother Givens and everybody that spoke. And I just thank you all for this session on prayer.
Amen.
Yes,
thank you, Mother Mitchell. Thank
Amen.
You, Mama.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you
God.
So much.
Now, Pastor
thank
Vanessa.
You. Thank you so much.
You have heard
thank
it all.
So
you have heard it
you
all.
Welcome, baby.
You have
I
heard
love
it all. You have done a beautiful job. The spirit is high, and we just want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We want to thank you, Lord, for your outpouring. We want to thank you, Lord, just for the unity of it all, the love of it all, Father God. We just want to thank you. I'm not even praying. I'm just saying thank you because you're so good to us. Pastor Vanessa, Yes,
love,
ma'am.
You can come back in and have any final comments. And you may also lift up your prayer, your war room prayer tonight, beloved. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Cook, and everybody else. This is powerful. And I'm excited about the journey we're taking because I can tell that there's a spirit of oneness and unity here. People want to understand. People want to go further and deeper in God, and that's powerful. My last comment would be I'm going to challenge everybody that is taking this assignment seriously based on the initiative that Apostle Cook has given us. And God just said to me to have everybody just be in a place of silence and stillness because he's not done talking. He's not done talking based upon this subject or anything else that is in your life that he would want to address in prayer tonight. It's like I used to say this a lot when I knew that I was turning a corner or God was putting me in different places of you know, how we mature and we get to different places in him. And I always felt like he was telling me it's time to come to the office. And if you know what that term means when you're in school, you feel like you get called down to the office, you're in trouble. But it's not always about trouble. Sometimes there's a special message. Sometimes you're going to be a part of an award ceremony. I didn't get called down to the office a lot when I was a kid, but when I did, it wasn't trouble. A lot of times it was something good. And I just want everybody to know that when God is sequestering you, that's also a legal term. Let him sequester you, guard that time, and know that you will not come out the same.
Yes.
So that means whatever you hear at that time, take it seriously and don't listen to it through the filter of your emotions. The Holy Spirit is there with you. And if you need questions answered, if you need to write, if it disturbs you or whatever the case may be, handle it with love, knowing that God gives you certain understanding and reveals things to your heart. Everything is not to be announced, and it's not for everybody. And some things are for the collective. So be able to discern whatever he tells you tonight that is something that you can share or something that he's saying keep close to the vest. It's between you and him. And this will not only build trust, but it also will build intimacy.
Yeah.
And I know God has more to say about what took place today in Spirit Alive Network. So, Father God, I just thank you and I praise you because your presence is everything. Who you called us to be and who we are is only because of you and your great love. There's such a great love story that is still relevant today. You love us. And you knew who we were before we were here in our mother's womb. You spoke over us and you called us forth to different offices. I praise and I thank you, Lord, that this on this show and even as it pertains to Spirit Alive Network, it represents different stages of life. We're all at different stages of life. We all have come to different things and different experiences. And I believe in the name of Jesus that you want to use that. And I think I know you want to use it. I know you want to use it. I think that there's transgenerational things going on here and that we can be in a place where we can really take the helm and be led as you give the vision to Apostle Cook. I thank you, Lord, today for that platform. I thank you, Father God, today that I'm praying that the global impact that this ministry is making will be manifested. I believe, Lord, that you're going to be opening doors and giving us access and having us to be able to discern and have spatial intelligence to understand how do we take dominion? How do we walk in authority? Spiritually, there's things that we have been praying about, but, Lord, we know that it's time for many of us to be able to take the plow. I thank you, Lord, today for the apostles ministry represents and the prophets and the teachers and the evangelists and the pastors that this ministry represents. Even those who are not on the line right now, we're speaking to you, Lord, because we're speaking to them. You've given us words to say to them, to encourage them, to edify them, to admonish them, to impart things to them. And I thank you, Lord, today that our level of expectation needs to come up.
Yes.
But I thank you, Lord, today that you will strengthen us and guide us to do whatever we need to do. You know those who are faithful. You know those of us that need to come up more. But I thank you, Lord, today that it's really all about your love for us and that we show that love to others that we're called to. We all have a sphere of influence, and I know that you want us to use it.
Yes.
I know you do. I know you
Amen.
Do. And I thank you, Lord, today for those that are willing. I thank you for being gentle with us, guiding us, that we open up our eyes and our ears. And I am really excited about what's going to be shared when this initiative is at the end, because I know it's going to be great testimonies. I know that you've already started a work. I know that you have even given Apostle Cook visions and dreams about different aspects of this, and I know you continue to give her more. I thank you, Lord, today that I pray over her right now in the name of Jesus and those that are also called to call her, to hold her hands up. I thank you, Lord, today for the vision you've given her that I know it's already expanded in a lot of different ways, but I thank you, Lord, today that you have helped us to help her. And that whatever that looks like in 2024, I'm speaking into the future now. Because I can see this year is almost over.
Yes, Jesus.
And I speak into the future now, Lord, whatever you would have to say, that we all just stand around and expect the great things, Lord, more responsibilities, whatever the case may be. And I thank you, Lord, for confronting those things we need to confront, shutting down any worry, doubt, or fear, shutting down old and walking into the new. Everything that you're saying, Lord, today that our ears are listening. And help us, Lord, in our everyday life like you always do. You never change. And I thank you, Lord, today for that. And I love you, Lord. And help us to show more love towards one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen,
amen.
And amen. What a powerful, humbling experience this war room has been. I am so grateful to all the saints that were here and for your prayers. And I praise God that we are family. And I feel that in my soul. I feel that in my spirit. I really do. And I just praise God for each and every one of you. And I just say, as it has been prayed, it shall be done in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Hallelujah. Now, saints, we have more to come this week here on the Spirit Alive Network. If you want to hear the mighty man of God, Bishop Lester Carver, please tune in tomorrow night, that is Tuesday, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you will hear his Tuesday night teaching. Now, Bishop Lester is also an ordained teacher. He is a pastor, hallelujah, and he comes precept upon precept straight from the word, hallelujah. And then on Wednesday, I'm asking all of you to join with the Daughters of Naomi, because we're going to be talking about the power of a praying woman, a woman, and the men who cover them. Hallelujah. So we're asking our brothers and our sisters to come out and pray with us on Wednesday, and we're going to talk about that power, hallelujah, that our bishop alluded to when he was speaking, where we understand that it, intercession, prayer, it involves us all, ministry, it involves us all. There are no big I's or little U's. Amen. And then Thursday, you'll get to hear this mighty woman of God again, Pastor Vanessa Carver, for Wounded No More. And she is an overcomer. I praise God. This young woman is an overcomer. And she is going to be coming to us with a very important subject matter, mental health. And, you know, we really need to start addressing the things that we don't like to talk about. Because, see, that's where the enemy can operate the easiest. So I praise God that she has taken up that mantle and she's being obedient to God, and she will be bringing us a series, thanks to God, on mental health. And on Friday, you can hear myself and Brother Rick Oldman. We're going to be doing the final two commandments of the Ten Commandments. We've been studying a book by Mr. Dennis Prager, and but it is entirely based upon the Bible. So we have been having a good time perusing that and discussing that. And on Saturday, We have young minister Adam Tuggle for the summit. So there is truly something for everyone here on the Spirit Alive Network. We pray that each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus, will continue to grow in Christ. We pray that God would move you from glory to glory. We pray that your faith would increase. Hallelujah. We pray, hallelujah, for transformation in your lives and in the lives of your family. We pray that you prosper as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. And we want you to know, above all else, we love you. We love you. And we want God's best for you. And if there's anything that we can do to help, you can inbox me. If there's topics that you would like discussed, you can inbox me. And I will most certainly pass it on to the mighty servant leaders here at Spirit Alive, because we want to truly be a blessing to you. We truly want to be, we are disciples that are making disciples. So we just want the people of God to be who God called them to be. So I want to thank once again, hallelujah, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Mother Gibbons, Bishop Lester Carver, Minister Tina Brown, Mother Mattie Scott, and my beautiful co-host for this evening, Pastor Vanessa Carver. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, my beautiful family. Beautiful,
powerful,
wonderful. Love it. Love it.
Love everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Love
you all.
Love you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
God bless you. Love you all. That's wonderful. Wonderful.